It's just no wonder that we worship him. It's no wonder. It's like when you get a glimpse of who he is and what he's done, it's like there's no wonder that we worship him. It's just the right response of a human heart to Almighty God. And it's wonderful. Enjoying that reality in this moment together and enjoying his presence, enjoying the company of one another in his presence. It's good. It's good to be here and to know him. We're actually going to touch on this a little bit this morning. And I don't know who that was. And we're going to pick up on what we're looking at, beginning to look at a few weeks ago. And it's to do with really this idea that there is the necessary application of things that we already know. Most of us, in terms of Christianity, not everybody maybe, but most of us going to church regularly, maybe some of us grown up in Christian homes, we know quite a bit. Maybe we know quite a bit about the Bible. We know all kinds of things that maybe we understand to be a right response to God, a right thing to do. We know stuff. And it's good to know stuff. And the bit that I want to encourage in us over the next little while is the application of that which we already know. That we would apply in our lives what we already know in our minds. And when we apply that which we know, I discover he continues to change our lives. And we need to be changed, amen? We do. We do. You can all agree with me, I need to be changed. And it's good, we go on with the Lord Jesus. And we're just wanting to look at this, different aspects of our lives, which nourishes both a contentment and a growth in our intimacy with Jesus. There's things that we can do, application, which encourages a nourishment, an awareness of our intimacy with Jesus. So without apology, what I want to do this morning and maybe other times is to encourage, and I'm doing this on purpose, I'll show you why, but an intimacy with Jesus, personally, devotionally, applied in our lives, an intimacy with Jesus. And we're going to touch down on a number of things. They're not new things. They're things we've probably all heard of, maybe practice. They're really ancient things, things we know. And it's the application that we want to kind of get into more and more, that we want to apply things in our lives. And so we're going to be doing this. I want to encourage us to find ways to grow in our intimacy with Jesus, in our personal lives and in our devotional lives. There will be increasingly. That is to say, it is what it is now and it grows. It increases. Sorry if that's a bit simple, but it's good. It increases in our lives, and that is this. Intimacy with Jesus, a reality of the awareness of the presence of God in your personal life. What do you reckon? A growing awareness, if we cannot be aware of the reality of God, there's a problem. There's a problem. One of the things that he has done, because of Calvary, because of his Holy Spirit, enabled by his Holy Spirit, is he has given us an ability to be aware of him. That God is real, that he is alive, and that he is active in your life and through your life. The power of the activity of the person of the Holy Spirit in and through you and me. And I want to encourage this deliberately. That increasingly there will be an experienced reality of the presence of God, of the closeness of God, what some people at other times have referred to. I only picked up on this recently. This little phrase, Matt Chandler, he was celebrating this, and but referencing other people, and he talked about a withness. That is to say that we can know that we are with him. in his presence, aware of him, there is a closeness of fellowship and of relationship, of the communion of the Holy Spirit, where there is a withness with God, a closeness. It's like you're hungry for this growing in your life. I am hungry for this increasing reality of the knowledge of the presence of God. And what I want to do now, having made that point, step back slightly and ask this question. Why? Why do I personally, us together, want to celebrate this, want to grow in this intimacy and communion with Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit? Why? Why? One of the reasons is this. That apart from the real enjoyment of God, and that's legitimate, it's right, and it's proper that we enjoy God. Are you enjoying God this morning? Amen. Amen. I am enjoying him personally, enjoying him with you, seeing and knowing him in one another, embracing my brother Craig when he comes through the door this morning, enjoying God in one another. And it's good and right and proper that we enjoy God and we continue to grow in our enjoyment of God as we grow in our intimacy with him. And here's the thing. I am convinced that a growth of the church in this way, intimacy and communion, a growth of the church in this way is key to our desire to see the lost found, the broken healed, and the oppressed set free. Amen. There is a connection between these two things. As I grow in my awareness of him, as I grow in my relationship with him, as I grow in my devotional life, as I grow in my awareness of the communion of Jesus Christ, do you know what happens in me? What happens is I have a growing awareness of the heart of God. A growing awareness of the heart of God is that he will move and reach out with compassion to the lost and the hungry and the hurting of this world. This is not just an introspective, self-absorbed Christianity. No! It is essential to the life of Christ being kind of made known to a broader company of people who need him. Who need him. Your intimacy with Jesus Christ in your everyday ongoing life will fuel a fire in you that the lost may be found. Amen? Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. Hungry for more of Jesus. And as I discover more of Jesus in my life, there is that heart of God that compels me to reach out beyond these walls, to reach out and to heal and to restore and to make whole by the power of the Holy Spirit, active and working in you and me. So this is kind of the backdrop heart for thinking into these things. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. God, here's the thing, we're going to read some scripture in a minute, don't worry. God moves out of relationship. Amen? God moves out of relationship, whether that is within the Godhead himself, he moves out of relationship. God moves out of relationship with you and me and through you and me. God is a God of relationship and of intimacy. Rightly so. God moves out of relationship. The more I know God, not just about God, the more I know and share his heart for the lost and hurting people of the world. Personal growth results in corporate growth. Amen? Personal growth results in corporate growth, whether that's spiritually or numerically. Personal growth results in corporate growth. It's just a natural extension. It's good. So, we want to grow spiritually. We want to grow. So what we're going to do this morning, we're going to think a little bit about prayer, personal, corporate prayer. Prayer is the place where we can be most at home. That's a miracle of grace. It's a miracle of grace. Prayer is the place where we, as his children, as his people, can be most at home. Do you know that you can find in prayer that you can be, if I can put it like this, your most settled self. Comfortable in the presence of God. That's a miracle of grace. That I could ever be comfortable in this sense, relationally, in the presence of God. That required the power of the cross. And it's what he's made available to us and nothing less. It's the easiest flow of the Christian life, prayer. And it can, at times, also be the most challenging place. It's the easiest natural overflow of a life. And it can also be the most challenging place in our lives as we seek to walk closely with him. So here it is. When we begin to think about prayer, I think a really helpful place to start is Romans chapter 8. And I'll tell you why. We're just going to touch down on this and move on. But there's this little insight in Romans chapter 8, and it's a much bigger picture to look into, and I'm just going to pull this out for us. But it's a beginning place, this awareness. And awareness is this, and it says this in Romans chapter 8. We're just going to have to jump in this verse 26. It says this, in this same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, or helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And there's all kinds of things in these few verses. And I'm picking out this simple truth, this simple reality, that as a natural person, as a natural man, you and I, we don't know how to pray. And it's kind of like, oh, that's actually really helpful. We don't know how to pray. It's like, oh, that's liberating. That's really helpful to realize in reality and truth. We can all talk, we can all make lots of words, but there is a reality, there is a sense in which it is true to say that you and I, we don't know how to pray as we should, as we ought to, as we can do, if I can put it like that. We don't know. As a natural person, as a natural man, I have no capacity to pray. In the Spirit, I have no capacity. So it's kind of like, oh, that's good. We're all on the same page then. We're all the same. We're all on the same page. In the beginning, and in this sense, we don't know. We don't know how to pray. What does that do in us in response to God? One of the things that it does is it makes me aware of an awareness of need. Of need. I become aware, as I am aware, that I don't know how to pray. Not in spirit and truth, not in reality. I don't know how to pray. And I become aware that I am in need. I am in need of another to be able to pray and to pray in the Spirit. And this awareness of need is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It causes me to look Godward. Godward. And it causes me to ask for help and for the enabling of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us to pray. To pray. And this is good, because this is, he's available. And he comes alongside one of the activities of the Holy Spirit, and we can know him and see his working in different ways. And one of the things that he does is he comes alongside. He comes along. Imagine the Holy Spirit of God. He comes alongside, and he'll help us. He'll help us. and he will communicate the things of God to us. To us. Wonderful. Wow, this is a beginning. This is a beginning. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. And we're going to look into this a little bit. It's helpful to begin in this place to know that I am in need and I am in need of him. You know, it's an interesting thing to notice in the lives of the disciples and in their relationship with the Lord Jesus on the earth. What is the thing that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them? Out of all the options that there could have been. And the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. They must have seen something, mustn't they? In the life of the Lord Jesus. They must have seen something. They must have seen something in his relationship with the Father. They must have seen something in his prayer life, in his intimacy, in the way that he took himself alone sometimes, quietly. Sometimes in the midst of activity, this dynamic of relationship with Father. And something in the disciples, and they're like, there's a wonder. Jesus, teach us to pray. And he does. Teach us to pray. I just want to read, we're going to home in a little bit now in the Gospel of John. The riches of the Gospel according to John. And we're going to read down these verses from chapter 16 and verse 5. And it's talking about the promise of Holy Spirit. And it says this, now Jesus speaking to his disciples, to his friends, of which we now are his disciples and his followers. And he says this, now I am going to him who sent me. This is Jesus speaking. He says, I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, Holy Spirit, he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment, concerning sin because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. And I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative. Holy Spirit, he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose, he will make known, he will illuminate to you. He will disclose it to you. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose it to you. He will glorify me, verse 14, he will glorify me, for he will take of mine, and he will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has, hear this, all things that the Father has are mine, Jesus says. And therefore, I said that he takes of mine and he discloses them, he makes them known to you. Can you see, even in these verses, and we're going to draw this out a bit more, but even in these verses, we hear of the Father and we hear of the Son and we hear of Holy Spirit. And there is a unity of activity amongst these three. And Holy Spirit, he doesn't move of his own initiative, of his own will, separate from God. But that which he hears from God, he speaks and he declares and he makes known. And somehow, through this activity of God, he brings you and me into this. The purposes and activity of God, this is rich. And it's wonderful. You can hear in this, we were born for this. We were born for this. We were intended for this, to be brought in to the activity of the purposes of God by the Spirit. And there's wonder here. This is how he does it. This is how he does it. And there's this unity going on. And there's also this bringing in of us into this activity of God. And it is by the coming of Holy Spirit, the promise of the Spirit, and the activity of Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. And here it is. It is by the Spirit, in this sense, it is by the Spirit that we know him. Oh, are we in need of him? Amen. We are so completely wonderful. Wonderful. Why? Because Jesus has sent him. He has sent him. Wonderful. And he equips and he enables us. And one of the enablings of Holy Spirit in your life is that you may pray. Honestly, it is. And without him, we cannot. But with him, we are invited in to the activity of God. Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm going to read, this is John chapter 16. No, it's not. We just read that. I'm going to move down. Thinking about this promise of the Spirit. It is John 16, verse 13. And he says this. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you. He will guide you. Holy Spirit, actively real in your life, he will guide and lead you. Real dynamic of God in your life. Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will lead. He will guide you. And he won't speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you what is to come. And he, Holy Spirit, he will glorify me. The work of the Holy Spirit in your life will glorify Jesus. Wonderful. Verse 15, we're just kind of going over this a bit. Verse 15, all things... Don't we just need him now to illuminate to us scripture? We do. We do, because what's contained here, oh, it's explosively powerful. It's incredible. All things, that's like everything, all things that the Father has, Jesus says this, all things that the Father has, they're mine. It's like this, the same. All things that the Father has, they are mine. And therefore, I said that he, Holy Spirit, he takes of mine and discloses them to you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And somehow we have been caught up in this activity of God. He discloses the things of God to us. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's wonderful when you think of that in relation to prayer. Because that is not a once in a lifetime experience. That is an ongoing reality of the activity of God in your life and in mine. Wonderful. Brought into, and this is the point where I'm doing this on purpose, going over this and over this and over this. We're going to tack in a minute and change course a little bit. But listen, listen, brought into a union and communion with God by the Spirit. That's what he does. He brings us into a union and intimacy with God, and he does it through the Holy Spirit in your life and in mine. Wonderful. Wonderful. In need of him and his ongoing activity. This is John chapter 17. And this is again, there's like a sequence to this. It's kind of like moving on. And we're going to read down now from the beginning of John 17. And these chapters, they're so rich and full. Just read them another time. Let God speak to you. Read them slowly. Read them thoughtfully. And listen to this. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Togetherness. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh. That to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Eternal life. Eternal life. And it's just like, people talk about that sometimes, don't they? Eternal life. What's eternal life? And it's just like, listen to this. This is like biblical statement of fact. Ready? What's eternal life? This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, listen to this. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them. And they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all things, listen, all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. Can you see this connection? The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and we have been brought into the purposes and activity of God. There is a union and a communion of life and of fellowship brought about by the Holy Spirit in your life. It's wonderful. Wonderful. I am no longer in the world. Make this connection. I am no longer in the world, Jesus says, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name. The name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. Can you get the richness of Scripture and of what's being communicated here? This is like holy ground. And he says, I'm no longer in the world, and yet they are. And he says, Father, this is the prayer, Father, Father, keep them. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. You go back to the beginning of that passage, and he says this, and I want us to get this point. What is eternal life? What is eternal life? What is that quality of life which is without end, which is eternal? There is a quality of life which goes on. It is without time. It's eternal. Quality of life. And it's simply this, that you may know him. That you may know him. This knowing God, this might be involved, but it's not what this is talking about. That you might know him. There is, in this knowing of God, implied in this word, a fellowship, an intimacy, a oneness, a togetherness with God, that you may know him. You may know him in this way. And it's rich and it's wonderful. And a oneness, a fellowship, we find this in verse 10, an intimacy, a fellowship that we have been brought into. We have been brought into an intimacy, a fellowship with him. Verse 11, it says, kept by the name. The name of the Father. The name of the Son. It says it's the same name. The name that's been given, that is his, has been given to the Son. The name is the same. The name does not refer, if I can say this, does not refer to a word, but to a character. An authority, a nature, if I can put it like that. And somehow God has given to us his name, kept through his name, through his character, through his person, through his person. This name of Jesus is not supposed to be something that we just tag on to the end of prayers. It isn't. It isn't. It's richer and fuller than that. And it's like, I will do something in you by my spirit that is of myself. And you can pray, I can enable you to pray by the spirit. And it will have the character, the nature, the essence of God. Why? Holy Spirit. Is this making sense? It's good. It's good that we may pray and we may pray in this way. I'm just going to read through some verses here again. This is all in John. It's in the surrounding chapters. This is John chapter 14. I'm going to read a number of verses for us. John chapter 14, verse 13 says this, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do. Whatever you ask in my name. In my name. My nature, my character, my authority, in my name. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So whatever you ask in my name, I will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Union and communion. Wonderful. Wonderful. Next verse. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15. Chapter 15, verse 16 says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and that your fruit would remain, so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Certain, whatever you ask in my name, he will give it to you. Verse 24, if I had not done among them, 16:24, I got the wrong verse. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Before this. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be full. Step back, verse 23. In that day, referring Holy Spirit, in that day you will not question me about anything. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask the Father for anything in my name, he will give it to you. This is not, do you know what? In my life, once, I got accused of preaching a prosperity gospel. It's like, mate, it tickled me. I just thought, man, like, that's random. And in a sense, in reading out these verses, you could maybe get that impression. But it's just like, this is scripture. And the Bible is teaching us, if you ask of God, according to, if I can put it like this, according to my will, he will give it to you. According to my name, according to my nature, according to who I am in you, ask in that way, and he will give it to you. Certain and true. It's wonderful. In my name, union and intimacy with God by the Spirit. Right. We're going to tack now and we're going to jump. So I've left myself about 11 minutes to highlight some other things for us. But we needed the first bit. And it's important. And I'm going to read now, reading lots of scripture this morning. It's good. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read 9 verses. And from verse 10, and it says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole or the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's all spiritual. That's the battle. It's a spiritual one. Therefore, take up, what? The full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Here we go. With all prayer and petition, pray. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all saints. In this passage of Scripture, famous passage of Scripture, and you read through, and there's this image of a soldier in their time and culture. And you've got this soldier, and he's equipped for battle. And he's got a helmet, and he's got a breastplate, and he's girded, and he's got things on his feet, and all these various things. Sword, and he's dressed for battle. He's put it on, and he's equipped. He's equipped. Now, how random would it be for that soldier to be fully equipped with all the armor, and all that we can put it for us, all the armor of God, and then he stands there, and he just looks magnificent. So look at this soldier. Look at him. He's just got on his armor, and he's got on his helmet, and he's ready. He's ready for battle. And he's just like, yes, I've done all the preparation, and I'm ready for war. And he's just enjoying that moment, and he continues to enjoy that moment, and he stays equipped and ready. How foolish would it be for him to never engage in battle? How foolish would it be for him to never engage in battle? That famous passage of Scripture, it goes on from those things. And he says this immediately after. He says this, with all prayer and petition, pray. All that equipping of God, All that putting on of the armor and all of the preparation and enabling of God by the Spirit immediately moves into this. Pray. You're ready now. You're ready now. You're equipped. You're enabled. Pray. And pray with all prayer. Pray with all prayer and petition. Wonderful. I love this. Love this picture. Love this activity of God. He uses you and me, enabled by His Spirit, to work in cooperation with Himself. This is a marvel. He calls us to work by His Spirit in cooperation with Himself, that the purposes of God are fulfilled in our day and generation. Amen. This is how God works. You and me involved in the purposes of God. Pray with all prayer. Now here's the thing. Some of this you might think, Matt, this is like, some of it, as we look at the scripture and we read the scripture and we realize this is deep things. These are rich things. They are wonderful things, and we should see them in that way. And we should realize that we are, by God's Spirit, enabled for war, for activity in a spiritual dimension, in a spiritual realm, and He enables us. And you think, oh, this is too big for me. This is too big for me. And do you know what God enables us to do? And I mean this, and it's just like, just enjoy this. And it's just like, when we come to prayer, and we begin with, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to pray. And yet we are enabled by the Spirit of God to pray. To pray. And then he's like, oh, where do I start? Where do I start? What should I do with all of this? And it's like, here it is, honestly, this. Just pray what you've got. Really. How do we learn to pray? How do we learn to pray? You pray. You begin to pray. You begin to pray. How do you begin to pray? You pray what you've got. And sometimes what you've got, you might think, I've got nothing. I've got nothing. Start there then. Start there. It's a good place to start. It is. It's a good place to start. It is the equipping of God with the realization that I need Him. I need Him. And He will provide for your need in prayer. He will. He will provide for your need in prayer. Where do you start? Pray what you got. Pray what you got. And sometimes we come to God and it's like, Lord, I'm cold. And I feel maybe hard-hearted and I don't feel exercised in the wonders of this truth. And it's like, it's all right. Don't panic. Just pray what you've got. Just move. Just move from where you are and pray what you've got. Pray what you've got. And do you know what will happen? It will grow. It will grow. I tell you what, honestly, here, like practical, feet on the ground, have a go at this. 10 minutes. Give God 10 minutes every day in this way. You might think, that's not enough. But here it is. Pray what you've got. Start where you are. Start where you are. If we don't start, we don't grow. If we don't apply what we know, we don't grow. And this is the call. This is the challenge. Application. Just apply what you've got. Just do what you know. Just move from where you are. It doesn't matter. Why? Because God hears. And do you know what He hears more than your words? He hears your heart response to Him. So just pray what you've got. And He'll hear more than your words. He'll hear your heart and He'll grow you from there. He will. He will. It's wonderful. Just pray what you've got. Do what helps. Pray with honesty. Pray with sincerity. Pray with humility. But pray what you've got. If your honest prayer is, Lord, I haven't got anything, that is a good place to start. But tell Him. Tell Him. Don't tell yourself. Oh, poor me. I don't know where to start. I've got nothing. No. Tell Him. Communicate. with God and ask that he would enable and help you by the power and the enlivening of Holy Spirit in your life. It will change you. He will change you from the inside out. And that's how it works. It's wonderful. There is not one way to pray. We can remember that, it rhymes. There is not one way to pray. There is not a perfect model for what works for you, where you are. There is not a perfect model. Here it is. But there is, from where we are in a moment, there is that which works for you. There is that which is effective for you. And we are all different. We're all at different places, we all have different personalities, we all have different backgrounds, we all have different characters. We start where we are. And the important thing is that we start. And we start. So this is a call to start, and to start from where we are, and to pray what we've got. And here it is, there's all sorts of things. These are just pictures. I'm going to hold them up for us really briefly. Different people, different responses, different activity. Moses. Moses prayed. Moses lifted up his hands. This is just a picture. Moses lifted up his hands. He did it all day till he got so tired his mates helped. And they supported him. And they helped him to continue to pray. It was an approach. I'm using this as a picture. Moses, he lifted his hands. Samuel, he prayed 3 times a day out of an open window. It's not a model. It's not a model. If it's helpful, great. 3 times a day, open the window and talk to God. Wonderful. Wonderful, but we're not holding up a model or a practice. David, he used poetry. Paul, he prayed at all times. And this is a real question. What helps you? What helps you to pray? What helps you to begin? What helps movement from your heart to God? You know, sometimes prayer doesn't have words. Sometimes prayer doesn't have words. It has a movement from your heart in union and communion to God, and you are drawn out to him. It's wonderful. The things that are accomplished by God without any words at all. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. What works? What helps? What motivates? You know, my wife, she's wonderful. She prays with her friends on FaceTime regularly. It's just like, it's a funny thing, because often when you pray, you close your eyes. FaceTime. Anyway, she finds it helpful to pray with her friends on FaceTime. It's wonderful. And I often prefer solitude to pray in this way, devotionally, personally, in intimacy with God. I like a bit of quiet. I like a bit of solitude. I like sometimes to walk my dog in the countryside where there's no one else around, and be drawn out of God in prayer. And sometimes I'm walking along, hope nobody's watching, speaking in tongues to God, walking the dog. It's a bit random. It doesn't matter. Be moved. Be drawn out after him. He is in looking for intimacy of relationship and connection with you. And God will work in this way. And you know what he'll do? He'll transform this city. He will. God's heart from the beginning was to draw out a company of people to himself. A company of people who are what? Called by his name. Called by his name. And who will humble themselves and pray. And pray. And do you know what it says? When that happens, it says, I will hear. I will hear and I will heal. There is a connection between our personal intimacy with God and the overflowing healing of community and of lives. That's why I'm talking about it. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's grow in this way. You know, there's a guy that I listen to sometimes, Times Square Church. He's called Carter Conlon. He begins his day, every day, on the phone. A few people, got a bit of a group call going on. What are they doing every morning? Some faithful friends, they pray together. What a day, what a way to kick off the day. It's helpful. He finds it helpful, so he does it. What do you find helpful? Implementation in your life. Corporate prayer, we're going to talk about that another time because I've run out of time. Make time for corporate prayer. And in this setting, in this church, and it's bigger than this and it's more than this, but I'm highlighting it, there's small group prayer, there's ladies prayer, there's early morning Tuesday prayer, there's once a month all together prayer, there's all kinds of prayer going on. Engage with prayer corporately. Honestly, this is not a kind of like, I don't know, one of the elders thinks everybody should come to the prayer meeting and he's making a point. I'm not bothered about that. I'm not. But honestly, to pray together. Do you know, sometimes Tuesday morning, I'm loving this. This goes on regularly. But, 6:30 Tuesday morning, a few people get together in that room over there and we pray together. And we pray together. And do you know, it's rich. Sometimes just the awareness of the presence of God together, being drawn out to pray for people, for situations, for the church. And it's like, where is the activity of the forward momentum of God in this place going on? When my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear, I will hear, and I will heal. Amen.